Yes, and he is back with us. In fact, I'll introduce him with this text from McHugh. Bulldog, congratulations on winning the Wally Lewis Medal for Best for Queensland.
Thank
Morning
you.
Morning to you, mate.
I've never won a medal before. To get one off the king, it'd be nice.
How much flack have you coughed in the last week or so?
But, you know, I don't get the vitriol. It's what Origin's about.
100%.
Everyone talks about it, and they love the argy-bargy and the
all part of
cross-border theatre. Exactly. I'm stunned that people are actually saying, you cost us the series and you did this. And I'm thinking, you guys,
all those
for
tackles
real?
You made. And...
Yeah, I mean, I said it and I'll stand by it, and I still think it was a weak Queensland side. They won. Good luck to them. But, you know, it kept the series bubbling along to some degree, and I just can't believe people get so... I mean, I love the passion. I just don't know where the anger comes from, that's all.
Yeah.
But that's social media.
Social media. Terrible barometer.
But if I get the Wally Lewis, I want Laurie to present it to me, because I don't think he ever got one.
Ah, they didn't have it.
Oh, didn't they? All right, okay. Fair enough. It was a long time ago.
I was playing against Wally.
Ah, you were too. Was he the greatest you played against, Laws?
No, not really. No.
Fair enough.
No. Oh, well, I played against Wally at the back end of his career.
Yeah.
So I couldn't have Wally up there with the likes of, like, Alfie or Joey or Freddie Fittler or, those type of blokes. I mean, I only played Wally a couple of times. So when he played for the Broncos, which I think I would have played against him maybe twice, two or three times. And he was at the back end of his career. And then at Origin level, I played 89. I think he was injured in 90. Oh, I was injured. I didn't play much. I was injured in 91. So I didn't play Wally a lot. So I can't go off playing against him. There's others there that I played against that, you know. I remember Alf. Alf was just a genius to play against, you know. You look at... I played with Ricky Stewart, but yeah, Alf was the halfback at that particular time. That was great rivalry with Ricky, and you know, every time you played the Broncos, it was Alfie and Kevy. You know, you had to look after those guys. But
who's better, Alf or Sticky?
Well, I got a leaning towards Sticky because he helped my game. I never gelled with Alf when we played together because Alf was a different style. Alf was more play at the ruck and turn inside little 5-8 little. Cross plays and, you know, working in behind the ruck and then running and dummy. And he never really had the skill of Ricky, like the long passing game. Whereas being on the end of a 20, 30 metre pass from Ricky, I was able to get on the outside of defenders and get straight to an edge.
Do you feel uncomfortable or did you feel uncomfortable playing with someone like Alf?
Never felt
Not
uncomfortable.
Not uncomfortable, but you just felt like you weren't at ease when you had Sticky next to you. You knew what you were going to get.
It's like anyone, mate. It's like when you go to work, say, if you turn up and you're in a part of a team and you're used to working with that person, you know exactly what they're doing, how they operate, you know what they're about to do. Mm. Whereas when you turn up with someone that you haven't worked with a lot, you're unsure. So you're a little steady, you're not as comfortable. After a while, you'll feel comfortable and knowing and understanding what that person wants and what you need. But, yeah, it always took a bit of time, definitely.
Bulldog, in the last 48 hours, you've been covering one of the saddest stories in recent times, the passing of Keith Titmuss. And yesterday, you spoke to his family. I can only imagine, I can't imagine, actually, the pain they're going through.
Yeah, you know, it was one of the saddest interviews I think I've ever done. But the family were so stoic. They were so strong. They were brave. I personally got the feeling they were potentially still in shock. But for that poor family to watch their 20-year-old son, as strong as an ox, go to training and not come home was just utter devastation for the Titmuss family. But look, yesterday, interviewing them, they were trying to hold it together. But, you know, they were more worried about their two other kids, Zara and Jesse, and how they're going to get through. The parents were saying that Keith had been like a security blanket to young Zara, the daughter, since her birth, and they were unsure how she was going to get through life. So this is obviously a lot bigger than just football. This is about a family being absolutely devastated by the death of a young bloke just 20 years old, and it's one of the saddest stories I've been involved in 30 years of covering rugby league.
How's the Manly club dealing with it at the moment?
Yeah, they're doing the best they can. I spoke to Dez and I've spoken to Stephen Humphries, and clearly there's a lot of counselling being offered to players. Dez has given players a few days off training to try and grieve and clear their heads. Manly will try to honour Keith Titmuss in some way, to be determined. I spoke to Andrew Abdo through text yesterday. He went to the hospital on the Monday night on the way home from work to try to comfort the family. Dez was there with Stephen Humphries, and a lot of his friends were there, and it was apparently clearly a very emotional and sad night for everybody, and they tried to hug each other and comfort each other and somehow get through that horrendous moment, and there'll be no doubt more horrendous moments in coming days, months and years.
Yeah. Do we know any more about what possibly may have happened?
We don't, Laurie, as yet. I don't want to speculate. There's a few suggestions going around, but until it's confirmed by the coroner and the inquest has started, Manly are involved in that report, which will go to the coroner, as are the police. And look, until that comes out, Laurie, I don't know. Look, a personal opinion would be you'd think there may have been some pre-existing condition there, which no one knew about. But as I said, a 20-year-old kid who plays front row, he'd be as strong as you could possibly get. But look, he had some fatigue after training. He fell ill. The paramedics took him to Northern Beaches Hospital on the Monday, then to Royal North Shore, but he couldn't be saved.
You just can't believe it. And once again, condolences to his family and obviously the Manly Footy Club as well. It is horrible, horrible news. Matt Burton, it was always going to be a big story of the off-season, was Penrith keeping this group together. And Matt Burton's been, well, it's been speculated for quite a while as to whether, you know, he could end up at Canterbury and even sooner rather than later. What's the latest on his future?
Yeah, you know, the four clubs that are seeking Matt Burton's signature, obviously Penrith, Canterbury, West Tigers, Cronulla, are really just in a holding pattern at the moment. Matt has gone back home, I think, to Dubbo. See, he's on a long break because Penrith made the grand final. He doesn't have to be back until mid-December. And of course, the CBA say you can't come back and train, so you've got to stay away. So he's in no real rush, albeit the four clubs are getting a little bit fidgety. They're trying to remain as patient as they can, but they want a decision as quick as possible. I think you'll find Matt Burton will probably make his mind up in the next week. If I was a betting man, I'd throw $5 on Canterbury. But look, he's with his family at the moment. No doubt he's seeking advice from friends and getting guidance as to what and where he should go. But at the moment, it's just a matter of all four clubs are waiting. And of course, a decision like Matt Burton then ricochets down your salary cap to other players, so they want to know as soon as possible. But I still think he'll end up at the Dogs, Middo. But look, until the signature comes, until the final decision is made, I guess, like those four clubs, we just have to sit and wait and see where Matt Burton lands.
Bulldog, what about the Queensland coaching staff? Meninga, Bennett, Henry, will that continue? Will we see the same support staff next year?
Yeah, it's a great question, Clarkie. Mal Meninga is an interesting one. He was only going to do it for 1 year because next year is the 2021 Rugby League World Cup. But given the travel restrictions we face and the state that England is in through the pandemic, there are some pretty heavy question marks now hanging over whether the 21 World Cup does go ahead. And if that doesn't go ahead, well, of course, Mal doesn't essentially have a job. So I think you'll find that Mal may back up next year in that Queensland coaching staff. And look, who knows? There's a review going on. They may not opt for Wayne Bennett. They might think, you know what? Wayne has shown in a funny way that, you know, you can coach Origin in a condensed version and still win. So they might think we'll go some other way. And Mal could be in charge. It's a bit like Neil Henry, Clarkie. He, of course, coached NRL at the Gold Coast Cowboys and the Raiders. He was sort of off the radar, albeit discussed for the Dragons job. But now, through Origin and his guidance to get Queensland across the line, I think you'll find Neil Henry's name is now back in the melting pot for potential coaches in the NRL in the next year or so.
Has there ever been a young player that's never played first grade have the amount of attention put on him like this young Joseph Suaalii? And what's the latest with South Sydney and Suaalii? And, you know, we know that, you know, Latrell Mitchell is looking to do a contract at Souths as well. Can you bring us up to date with what's happening with Souths in terms of Suaalii, Latrell Mitchell, and whether Souths are prepared to offload Suaalii to the Roosters?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. Laurie, I'm not going to name names, but I've spoken to some people in and around Souths, and they've had enough of him, to be honest with you. They're quite happy to see the back of him. They're trying to remain respectful to him and his family, but the way that it's all unfolded has been unsavoury in the eyes of South Sydney. They've been very good to Joseph Suaalii from a very young age. Generally speaking, the Bunnies would be reluctant to release anyone to the Roosters, but I think they will release him for next year. You have to remember, too, that South's deal for Suaalii for next year is a very limited deal. They basically said, look, stay with us for 21, but your commitments won't be over the top because we're going to give you a lot of time for your studies. So, yes, they kept him in the South Sydney system, but they did say you can go away for extended periods of time to make sure you get your Year 12 studies completed. So the deal next year wasn't a lot about Suaalii's football, more about his studies. But, look, if the Roosters can come up with some money, he's only on a small development contract, so the money's not big, and if the Roosters can come up with some sort of fee for the Bunnies, I think you'll find that they would release him. As for your question, Laurie, yes, you speak to some South officials and they say, yeah, I can't believe the amount of time that this bloke is taking up in terms of South internally for a bloke who hasn't played any NRL and at the moment isn't close to playing NRL. And there's still a theory out there that, yes, he's a young superstar. Yes, he's a gun. But running through schoolboys at GPS is going to be different to running through NRL.
Yeah. The other thing on that that I don't understand, we've spoken about this lots, and I'm not knocking the kid at all, but he sat out this year, didn't play any footy. And there's talk he's going to sit out next year and not play any footy. Well, as a kid...
Yeah. Yeah, you just want to be out there playing.
That's all you want
to do.
That's all you wanted to do. At the ages of 16 and 17, I just cannot understand that he wants to sit out and not play any footy for 2 years.
No. Well, I don't think he wants to sit out. I think he'd like to play, but it'll come down to what South Sydney or if he's at the Roosters at that particular stage, whether they allow him to play or not. But again, it was all under COVID restrictions this year, and you know the GPS wasn't being played, then it was being played, and then you know he had some injuries, and but as a young man you want to play, and it's his last year at school. And I'm sure he'd love to play with Kings, and Kings won that competition this season, so we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. But also with Latrell, that had nothing to do with whether Suaalii stayed or not in terms of extending his deal, did it? And has he extended the deal yet? And what's he looking at doing, Latrell?
Latrell is in the midst of contract talks. I think the only sticking point is whether it's 2 or 3 years or whether there's an option there for a third and who gets that option, whether it's the club or the player. I don't think there's any doubt Latrell will stay there. They had put aside about $500,000 for Suaalii, so once it was agreed upon that he wouldn't be at South next year, well, that money was used elsewhere. Junior Totola is another one. Laurie had a big year this year. I think he played 21 games, averaged 106 metres per game for 13 runs per game. So he's looking at a 2 to 3 year deal as well. They've just started talks with Junior Totola's manager. Terrific player. And I think you'll find in the next week or so, unless there's a major hiccup late, that South will hopefully be able to announce Latrell and Junior to deals which would keep them there up to 2024.
I know he's on the publicity trail with his book, but have we got an update with Cameron Smith?
No.
He's not playing the first one day on Friday. I know that.
How do you know?
I spoke to him. Everything else is on the table. The first one day is not.
What's your gut feel?
He did well at the Masters, didn't he?
What's your gut feel with Cameron Smith?
I don't know. Loz, you know what? I'm over being asked because I just don't know. Yeah. And I'm not being a smart ass here. But I just don't know what the weight is. Either he's playing or he's not. Mm. Is there money there from other clubs? I would doubt that. It certainly won't be at Melbourne Storm. I don't think the Gold Coast have got the money. I mean, has Kev Walters got the money? I wouldn't think so, trying to juggle that roster.
Do you think he definitely won't be at Melbourne? You think that that's off the table
I
now?
Think it's off the table, yeah. Clarkey. Yeah, I think they want Harry Grant, and he's the future. And I think that's the way they'll go.
And what's the latest with Joe Offahengawi at the Broncos? There's some talk that he may go to the Dragons. The Broncos may release him.
Or the Tigers.
Josh Alloway is another one with his contract situation. Any further update on what's happening with those two players?
Josh Alloway is expected to be at training on Monday for the West Tigers. If he's not there, the board, as I have been told, will be instructed to take some sort of sanction against him, whether that's a reprimand first up or a fine. But I was told if he's not there Monday, it'll be a fine, and not there Tuesday, it could lead to termination. The only issue is he may want termination to go to Manly, but clearly that would mean, you know, there'd be no extra coin there in terms of him leaving. But he's expected to fulfil his commitments, Laurie, and it's untenable, let's be honest. Mm. And as much as the club can talk tough, we won't let him go. He's got a contract. He'll be honouring it. In the end, the player, sadly in my eyes, always has the upper hand, because if he sulks, he mopes around, he becomes a bit of an infection inside the club, talking to younger players, he's better off getting the hell out. But you know, at the moment, West Tigers, someone's got to draw a line in the sand, guys, at some point. Yeah. I hope it is the Tigers, but for 20 years, clubs have threatened to draw a line in the sand. Mm. It doesn't work, because in the end, they agitate, and
loose.
It works.
Mm. Oh, McHugh's still giving it to you on the text line, Bulldog. Can you ask Bulldog, please, if Wayne Bennett doesn't coach Queensland next year, will you and Paul Gallen put your hands up for the job, seeing you did a great job this year?
I'll run water as well.
Who is this bloke? Why is he taking pot shots?
It's about 6 minutes.
Well, tell him to call in. Stop.
You weren't on your own, Bulldog, as well, saying that New South Wales is going to
Why doesn't this bloke stop texting behind a computer and ring the open line?
Well, the Berkeley Eagle was texting too. Have you been drug tested yet?
I have. I don't want to tell you the results.
Doggy, where's Benji going?
I don't know. Ooh. Everywhere at the moment is sort of, I wouldn't say a dead end, but if I had a few bucks, I'd go Cronulla, Laurie. I think that's the favourite at the moment. But I'm sure Benji, even right now, must be thinking, you know, is retirement the best option?
But Bulldog, on that, there's one for you, right? Everyone is cracking the shits about Cameron Smith.
Clarkey.
Yeah, excuse
you
the French.
You can't say that.
Excuse the French. Everyone's cracking it about Cameron Smith, right? Everyone's saying, why has he not come out and told the world what he's doing? Yet, no one's talking about why has Benji not done the same? Why has Benji not come out and told the world what he's doing? Why are we not having a shot at him? And I love Benji.
Clarkey, Clarkey, you're spitting on me.
Have I got red shoes on? But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
Cameron Smith thing just drives me insane. It's like, okay, other players, we're cool about that. But when it comes to someone like Cameron Smith, it's like World War V. Well, why is it different?
I think the only difference is, in my eyes, Clarkey, that Benji was told he was unwanted. So then he went out in the open market where Cam Smith wasn't told that. They sort of wanted him to play on. But look, you make a valid point, albeit there's plenty of Benji fans.
There's plenty of Benji fans that want to know,
where
is he still playing? Is he going to another club? Obviously, he's not at the Tigers. Is he retired? Like,
yeah. No,
I'd love to. I want to know what's going on with Benji. I love him. I think he's a superstar, and I thought he had a really good year. And no doubt, I think he could still play. But I just don't get why there's extra beef always with Cameron Smith.
We've got Brad on the line. G'day, Brad.
Hey, guys. How are you? Bulldog, just a question. With all these players walking out of contracts for family reasons, for whatever, why can't the NRL bring something in where if you've got 2 years to go on your contract, you have to sign for that same amount of money? Because it annoys me that they're going for family reasons, fair enough, but they're also getting an extra coin.
Yeah, Brad, I agree 100%. I hate it when they seek an early release for more money. They should be told that, okay, you can go, but you're on the same money. You can't go for any extra coin. It's just not right. It's not moral. It's not what we're about. I don't know how you would police that. That would be the only issue, how you could do it legally and properly. But
surrogate.
Yeah, correct. But say Josh Alloway, Laurie, if he's on 400 at the Tigers, if he wants to go to Manly, he should be on 400. That's the only offer they can make to him. They cannot offer any more until he comes off contract. Yeah.
But the NRL could control that.
They could.
Because they could see what is on the West Tigers contract, and when you register at Manly, they would know what they're registering that contract as. So it couldn't be any more. So the NRL could play a part in that. But I suppose when you sign a contract, that's legally binding as well. But if you want to break a contract and both parties agree, then you can do that. Is that a restriction of trade then by saying to someone, well, you are restricted in the amount of money that you can earn if you leave this club?
Only if the club don't want you to go, though.
Yeah.
If the club is saying, no, you have a contract, you have to stay, then I don't think the player should be allowed to go and earn more money when he's signed a contract in good faith.
Yeah, and I get the frustration too. And it's like when a player signs and he leaves the club. And I've got no issue if players said, oh, look, I'm going because of money, rather than, oh, well, I love the environment and the coaching I'm going to get here is going to be X, Y, and Z. I think most players leave clubs either because they're not wanted or they can get a better deal somewhere else.
I don't know why.
I don't know why you'd be ashamed to say it.
I don't know why sportsmen have this theory that it's immoral to say you want more money at another club. Good luck to them. If they can get the extra coin, it's almost like they're embarrassed to say, I'm going for the money. Yeah. Good luck to you if you can get more money. I mean, that's how the world works. I mean, look at Laurie in Super League. He just went and turned his back on all his mates. Boom, the money was there, and off he went. Pulled a hamstring getting into the Super League office.
Well, I can't argue. Yeah.
Laurie, all jokes aside, though, I had no beef with you doing that. You're trying to look after your family.
You bagged me for 3 years.
I was going to say, you're still bagging
nothing there for me.
You bagged me. I thought we were tight.
7:30, Bulldog. Good on you, mate.
I'm going to go find out what Benji's doing.
Please do.
So Clarkie doesn't get uptight at me.
Do.
Get the Viper out of
here. Scared. Imagine losing the Ashes with Clarkie as captain. Yikes.
Yeah, I retired.
On you, mate. Thank you.
Thank you.